This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first, so today we're talking to Brad Laporte of Lionfish Advisors, which is a company that advises startup companies looking to get investment or to merge or to go to market. They do a lot of different things. Brad used to be with Gartner, so he's got pretty good industry insights. And we're going to talk about the how things are going in the investment world right now, because tech stocks are taking a beating. Startups are starting to have to cut back. They have longer times to actually get to an exit strategy like an IPO. But one area that's not feeling that is the cybersecurity area, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too. So, Brad, thanks for joining us.
How are you doing?
Good. How's business?
Business is really good.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. That's what I've been hearing for quite a while now. We hear all this doom and gloom about what's going on in the economy, and the stock market is crashing, and Mark Zuckerberg is out on the street with a coffee cup saying, you know, we'll code for food. And maybe not that bad yet. In the cybersecurity world, people are investing a lot of money. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. I think what I just read a couple of weeks ago is that there's been more than $2 billion of investment in cybersecurity companies just in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
That tells me there's lots of money to be made in this industry, or at least the investors think there is. But what I'm actually seeing more often is activity in the private equity companies, especially as they're buying up managed service providers.
For sure, yeah, absolutely, and they are getting a premium.
Now, when you say a high premium, that's what the companies have to pay as they're giving up equity in the company, or are the investors actually paying more than they would normally?
No, this is certainly a buyer's market. So, how things are working is the best way to simplify it for people that are not aware of the financials behind everything is, way that the multiples for cybersecurity have been going has been crazy. I mean, it's been anywhere from 10 to 50x. You know, with a large portion of big vendors coming in and making these acquisitions and acquiring certain technologies around 30x. You know, now we're seeing a correction, and it is directly proportionate to, you know, a good analogy would be the housing market, because most people can understand that. Yeah. And I'm specifically talking about tech, and I'm zeroing in on cybersecurity. Because overall, we could talk about the overall market, but you know, it's directionally proportionate. And what's happening is there's two work streams. There's venture capitalism and then there's private equity.
Right.
And from a venture capitalist perspective, you're seeing more scrutiny around the investments that are being made. And they're also increasing the amount of equity that it would take to get that funding. And the amount of the check sizes have gone down as well.
Okay.
So organizations that are desperate for money right now, and previously, just to show you the difference of how things have evolved, is, you know, before it was okay for a early stage startup to have about 6 months of cash on hand. So you have your burn rate from month to month, and you'd have that amount. Now the guidance is 24 months. So you're seeing that you have to have four times the amount of money on hand. And a lot of organizations just didn't have that. And what you're seeing is organizations that are just bad with money, they're going to continue to be bad with money, and there are going to be repercussions for that. Now, the organizations that have been good with money they'll continue to be good with money. And it's the same thing on the personal end. The people that have debt are the people that are good with money.
Yeah.
And how that works in the VC world right now is they've gone from having, let's say, you know, like basically three meetings a day to now, you know, they're getting, they have about 300 a month that they're going through and evaluating. So the larger pool of organizations that need money, that are willing to, you know, basically open the door a lot wider in terms of equity and in compensation and return, and are willing to take smaller check sizes for that, that same percentage, you know, that, you know, now from a VC perspective, that that's very palatable.
There is a company that I've talked to off and on with. I really like them. I think they've got a great idea. It's called Fletch. Are you familiar with them?
I am.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. They're making their own revenue right now, and they took some money last year. What I've heard from people who ask me about them, they say, well, they seem really undercapitalized. But the CEO essentially says, you know, well, we don't really need that much money. And they're doing okay. I mean, they're actually looking to hire somebody in marketing, which is just outrageous in the industry, because you're hearing layoffs in cybersecurity, and it's all in the marketing area. And yet, Fletch is one of those companies that's hiring in marketing, and they're actually having a hard time finding people. So that's interesting in itself. They're reticent to take additional money. Do you find that is a trend, or are they kind of one of the unusual ones?
No, I think that they're doing the right thing, and I mean, they've already taken out 28.4 million, I think is what
yeah, I think that's right.
About right. I think they've taken out appropriate amount of money, given that, you know, it's enough money for them to operate lean and mm-hmm. and have all the necessary growth components to continue to get to the next stage.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the revenue is, but, you know, they're probably, you know, single digit, you know, basically seven digits. So basically between, you know, 1 and 10 million, and looking to, you know, get to 50 million and 100 million. That's basically where the stage I would presume that they're at. Yeah. And they have the appropriate amount of funding to do that if they do it smartly. And so, and I actually see this as a plus, and I say, like, oh, well, this company's bootstrapped. They're undoubtedly doing the right things.
Yeah.
And it's where organizations hire, like, they're at the same stage and they're hiring, you know, 30 people in marketing and they're sponsoring a race car. You know, those are the things that you want to stay away from. And unfortunately, in the United States, I have to pick on those companies. A lot of them are very aggressive in their spending and in their overall growth, where they're spending a lot more money in marketing that they shouldn't. And it's things that you don't see in Europe. You don't see this in places like Australia. Like, you basically, it's almost impossible to get funding in those spaces because of that. And it's kind of like almost like a spoiled kid that, you know, yeah.
My experience in tech, and it doesn't matter what niche you're talking about, is that companies don't spend enough money on the marketing issues or things they need to pay for, and they spend way too much on shit that does nothing, no good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the top 10 reasons why startups end up failing is they overspend. They spend money on the wrong things, and that it ends up getting them in a bad place. And then that's when you see companies that end up having layoffs. And I feel like I'm getting deja vu, because this is almost, I'm seeing a lot of the same habits that took place back in late 2009 and 2010, where organizations, you know, would have these massive hirings, and then they would go immediately into layoffs and so on and so forth. And
I've got a personal experience with that. I had a public relations firm back about that time. And, you know, every client we had was doing really well. They had POs, they had money coming in, and suddenly all their VCs on all nine of my clients decided to pull their funding overnight. Yeah. And all nine clients disappeared. And the thing is, they weren't spending that much on marketing, but the investors got spooky and just ran for the hills.
Yes. And you're seeing that all over again. And what's happened is, historically, especially SaaS companies, you have something called the rule of 40. So it's a mix of your growth rate and your profitability. And as long as those two numbers together equal 40% or higher, then you're okay. You're in a good spot. It's a benchmark. So like, basically, when you're growing, you're not always profitable. So if you're growing 100-200%, that's okay, as long as you're keeping the lights on. You don't need to be a unicorn and pulling in $50 million at that stage, because it's expected that you're going to take that money, you're going to reinvest it into the business, you're going to grow, you're going to hire people, you're going to have higher costs, blah, blah, blah. Now, that rule book almost went out the window now with this new fear, uncertainty, and doubt, this FUD that's taking place with the economy, especially with tech companies, where they're really, the investors and the stakeholders are really pulling back the reins and saying, no, you have to stop all hiring, you have to save money, you have to save 24 months worth of, and have 24 months worth of cash flow on hand and pull all that stuff back. I mean, that just kills all the momentum.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies, like a good portion, like 10% of, at least 10% of the tech community, that have pulled back on their marketing spend, and they've cut their sales teams, they've cut their marketing teams, they've cut things like training and documentation and things like that. All these like things that you really need to advance your product.
Right.
And to save, basically they're spending a dollar to save a penny. And it's unfortunate, because I've seen this all over again. We saw this 12 years ago.
And that brings me back to the issue of private equity, because I've been through several waves. I've been through Web 1.0, Web 2.0, the semiconductor boom, the semiconductor crash, the real estate crash, the Reagan recession, the Bush recession. I've been through all of it. And what I haven't seen until the past couple of years is the rise of private equity involved, especially in the area of cybersecurity. I just finished an interview with the Purple Guys, and they've brought on a partnership with a private equity firm, and they're going around, they're buying up managed service providers. Mm-hmm. And the thing, when I talked to Richard Steinen, he tracks everything that's going on in cybersecurity. He's got 3,000 cybersecurity companies that he tracks. But not a single one of them are MSS or managed service providers, because he says they're just too damn many of them. So it seems to be that we're getting some sort of level of consolidation, because there aren't enough people to actually fill all these roles. And this is what the Purple Guys were telling me, is that they need more manpower. So rather than go out and just go through HR and hire people, they're snapping up smaller managed service providers, and private equity is helping them do that. And I think the biggest one that I've seen was with who were they? FireEye. FireEye split up, came together, split up again, mm-hmm. then got bought. They formed Trellis. But it's all under private equity. And my question is, what's your exit strategy? And the private equity I talked with at the Purple Guys said, well, essentially what we're going to do is we're going to find another private equity company that will buy what we've put together and put it into something even bigger. What they do with it after that, they don't know. So yeah, it's it's kind of like flying blind, but it almost seems like we've got an active consolidation going on in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really the tipping point was back in, I would say, 2019. So I was working at Gartner and we were looking at this and we called it the fusion of products and services. So, you know, kind of a perfect example of this was when Sophos acquired Brooks Security. I mean, it was purely just an acquihire. They needed an MDR capability and they just acquired a group of folks that were good at that, that could basically take on and manage their MDR service. And there were several other endpoint security, now XDR vendors that ended up doing that. And Richard is absolutely right in that there's tens of thousands of these service companies. And it's everything from 24/7 SOC as a service to managed detection and response to MSSPs or MSPs and even MSPs that are aspiring to be MSSPs and everywhere in between. And it's a group of folks, you know, typically 30 to 50 folks in these little pockets around the world. And there's tons of bigger player vendors out there that need the bodies. And it's an easy fix, you know, both from a larger component. And then for the PE, it's appealing because I can take an unprofitable products capability and then take something like a managed security service and bring them together. And I can, it helps me with consolidating debt, because I don't necessarily need that duplicate spend on marketing or sales or all these other things. I can trim a lot of fat down by doing that. Yeah. And then the services actually solve a lot of the problems that that product might have had, where, okay, well, we're just going to have a managed service around this, so you don't even have to worry about it. And then from a buying perspective, I mean, almost every organization out there, they have over half of their requisitions aren't filled. So, you know, they're having trouble getting butts in seats. So paying for a managed service is now easier than ever to justify to their key stakeholders.
Do you think we'll see more managed service provider companies become established, or are we going to consolidate these companies into large organizations?
I think that a lot of these smaller players will be scooped up. Okay. And I mean, it's,
you think that's what they're looking, you think that's what they're looking for?
Yes, this is a glorified game of private equity Pac-Man, we'll call it. And they're basically just going to go around and start scooping up. I mean, I have relationships with a lot of the folks that are in these organizations, and this is exactly what they're looking at. You know,
yeah, and it's not just the private equity companies either. Yeah,
right.
What Alphabet is doing is really kind of confusing to me. I mean, the first thing they did was they spun off Sandbox AQ. You know, I interviewed the CEO of that company back in January about how they're going into AI and cryptography. And they talked about all the directions they were going in. But throughout the year, there's been announcement after announcement as they're buying up managed service providers and other technologies, mm-hmm. which almost makes it sound like Sandbox AQ has become Alphabet's private equity company in cybersecurity.
Yep.
But then again, then Google buys Mandiant, which essentially puts them in competition with Sandbox. So maybe they're hedging their bets, or I'm not exactly sure what their strategy is. Have you got any ideas on that?
Well, having worked at some rather large Fortune 500 companies, don't always assume the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's the short answer. You know, we have a podcast just on this, right? We could probably talk about this all day, but At the end of the day, I think it really comes down to, I don't think there was a strategy around this. I think the opportunity to acquire Mandiant was exactly that, an opportunity. You know, their top competitor was in the running. It was almost a done deal. And then they did the most Alphabet, you know, basically the most Google thing ever, and came in and swooped in. So, you know, that's really, I think, that something that happened there. Okay. In addition, like, I think that there is a need for that expertise. So Sandbox AQ specifically, you know, they're focusing in on the crypto side of things and specifically quantum side of things. So, you know, that is an area of specialization. And I think that that is almost like in its own little box and will be like an incubator, because a lot of people haven't even figured that out yet, right?
Yeah,
we're in our infancy, and it's embryonic in terms of where that sits. And IBM and Dell and some of these larger players out there, they have these incubators out there. Even the Department of Defense and militaries around the world will have like these individual incubators that are separate from the giant machine, so they can focus on innovation and solving these very unique problems. So that's the more educated answer that I have for you.
Okay. So if companies are looking for help in this area, how do they get a hold of you, Brad?
LinkedIn's always best. And, you know, connecting with me there. Otherwise, there's email. So blaporte@lionfishtechadvisors.com. You can also get us on the website.
So that's it for this week on Crucial Tech. Again, if you have any questions or concerns, you can contact me at cyberprotection-magazine.com or anchor.fm/crucialtech. And you can, at that place, you can leave a 1 minute comment or question, and we might use it in a future podcast. So thanks for joining us. This has been Crucial Tech, a Foot Washer Media production.